You worry me a little bit sometimes. You seem very secretive. You seem like you have a lot of secrets. It seems like you're very interested in secrets and ghosts and things that you can't see.
Just everything covert, huh?
Yeah, it's a little bit creepy. I wonder if you're watching me or...
Watching you now. We're on Zoom.
You can see me through this?
Yes, the miracle of technology.
What creepy stuff are you bringing me this week?
Well, it's not creepy. How is it creepy? I was reading.
Magic mirrors. And hidden portraits. Hidden guys behind women, hiding behind women. Come on.
Oh,
it's very
God.
Creepy.
Yeah. Good old Van Gogh. We're talking about Van Gogh, a portrait of Van Gogh that was found behind a portrait of a woman that didn't even look like a woman. Did it look like a woman? That was not a good portrait.
What? I thought it was a wonderful portrait.
I thought it was a little...
Yeah.
The x-rays reveal hidden Van Gogh self-portrait.
Would you not like her hat? All right, it's a silly looking hat. But you take the hat away and you unslump her shoulders. This is a peasant woman, She's going to have slump shoulders because her life is not easy. But if you take away the slump shoulders and the silly hat, I think you have a rather handsome female. Look at that nose. Beautiful brown hair, beautiful big brown eyes.
With bags.
They're not that baggy yet. She's probably only like 12.
Yeah, maybe 14 at the most.
Yeah, at the most.
Yeah. So anyway, what we're talking about is this portrait of Van Gogh that was x-rayed. They x-rayed this for whatever reason. I couldn't quite understand why. The National Gallery in Scotland, they x-rayed this painting of Van Gogh. It was called Head of a Peasant Woman. And unexpectedly discovered a portrait on the back of the canvas.
Seems a little weird that they would name it Head of a Peasant Woman. Couldn't it just be Portrait of a Peasant? Or not even Peasant. How about Portrait of 1885 female woman?
Head of a Peasant Woman.
Head of a Peasant seems very demeaning.
It's very dramatic.
Well, the painting is mildly dramatic.
I thought the painting was depressing, but yeah, I think Head of a Peasant Woman, it just kind of gets you to want to look at it.
Well, I don't like the title, but I like the painting. Yeah.
And I'm opposite.
Wow. You just don't like women, do you?
No, I like women. I just don't like this painting. I don't know. There's something about it that's just very... Anyway, let's just talk about the x-ray.
Okay. I don't think curators have a lot to do during their day.
Really?
So I think they find things to do, like x-ray stuff. Well, yeah. What are they... I mean, unless they're putting a show on.
Yeah, I wondered why they were x-raying.
You're sitting in a building with old paintings, which everyone's looked at a million times already.
Mm-hmm.
So... You find things to do. You clean, maybe you point flashlights at things that you shouldn't be pointing flashlights at. Maybe you x-ray stuff that you haven't x-rayed before. But it's also kind of a standard procedure now to x-ray paintings. Especially ones by famous artists, because you never know what you're going to find. For some reason, they think that it's going to illuminate their painting techniques. But I guess in one case, they did mention that they found... I don't remember what, I think the ingredient list for someone's impasta.
It was
painting.
I think it was Van Gogh's impasta, wasn't it?
It was not, sure. Let's
yeah,
go
we'll just say
we
Van Gogh. Who cares? It was a guy's impasta. Yeah, and they recreated.
We don't have to be right. We just have to be interesting.
And we just have to be, okay.
Anyway, so yes, I'm sorry. To get back to it, they have what I thought was a nice little painting of
a peasant woman.
Young woman. Mm-hmm. And it turned out on the back of it, covered up by glue and cardboard, portrait of Van Gogh, but we don't really know what condition that portrait is in. And if it's covered up, we don't know exactly who did the covering up, if it was Van Gogh or what. To me, we have a very smudgy x-ray vision of it. It doesn't look finished, but it doesn't mean it's not finished. And I'm not really that interested until they actually uncover it and we can either see or not see a portrait of Van Gogh. If it's a good portrait of Van Gogh, then great, that'd be wonderful. But I think it's a little bit premature to be looking at this.
It looks fairly similar to other portraits of Van Gogh that he made of himself with the hat. I mean, it's very similar.
It's bog standard, I think.
Isn't it? Yeah. I thought it was odd that they found that it was almost like this was on cardboard or some whatever it was on. And then it was, one of the theories was that it was placed underneath the original paint, like the painting of the woman's head, to shore up like the painting, to kind of stabilize it in some way.
That's just silly talk. I mean, these curators have too much time on their hands. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
As a painter, mm-hmm. I do paint, but I paint mostly digitally now, so it's not so much of a problem. But canvas is expensive.
Right.
And stretching canvas is an annoying process, which you don't want to have to do more than you have
right.
to do. So if you have a painting that you don't like that much, or you're just painting to paint, and then you actually want to come up with a good painting, mm-hmm. you paint over the crappy painting. Mm-hmm. You reuse your canvas. It's no big deal. this is just something that not only happened all the time in the past, it happens today.
Mm-hmm.
I paint over stuff. I have painted over stuff. One of my favorite paintings is, you know, they're going to x-ray my painting of this nude woman I have in my wife's office that she likes, I guess. And they're going to find, I don't even remember what's under there. And they're going to start ascribing some great ideas to me. Why did James paint over this painting? Mm-hmm. Well, he probably did it because to shore up the painting that he did over it. No, I did it. I did it because I needed a canvas, and this one was already ready, and I didn't like the painting that was on it already, so there.
Yeah, I've done that, too.
I've been thinking about painting over other people's paintings. Like, you know, Damien Hirst. How much, you know, how much harm could that do? We've had this discussion, though. It's like, if you take a crummy piece of work, mm-hmm. even if it might be valuable, and you paint over it,
mm-hmm.
are you really destroying it? Like, if you have a, I don't know, if there's a painting in a Russian gallery and of people with no faces, and you paint faces on it, doesn't that improve the painting?
No. It defaces.
I think the next article, we're spending way too much time on this Van Gogh.
Yes, yes. But in closing, this isn't the first and only piece that they found other things behind the painting. And he was known for reusing canvases. And we all do it. I do it. You do it. Yeah, let's move on.
Bronze mirrors mm-hmm. from Asia, mm-hmm. China, Japan, it's not exactly clear.
Not clear.
That have hidden images mm-hmm. embedded in them. So you don't see it if you look in the mirror, on the face of the mirror. But if you reflect light off of it, it will cast a secret image on the wall.
Right.
Which shows you where the Knights Templar hid all their gold. Or Buddha, whatever.
Maybe that's, yeah, probably Buddha, but Knights Templar, I like that theory. We should start looking for those.
In this case, it's a Buddha. So you have a bronze mirror, and if you reflect light off, you can't see anything on the surface. I mean, I haven't been able to inspect it, but based on the images I've seen online, it doesn't seem like there's any indication on the surface of the mirror that there's anything going on here. But if you reflect light off of it, you get a very subtle reflection, in this case, of a Buddha.
Yes. I just thought it was fascinating because I like to collect old things, and sometimes you are surprised. Like, I purchased this little round, I thought it was like a canteen. It was at one of the gem shows years and years ago. And I thought, oh, that's just so cute. It's just like this round little thing. And I bought it and I got it home and no one explained it to me. And when I unzipped it, there was a little Buddha inside of it. And so then I had to research what it was, and they're like literally, I mean, what I purchased unknowingly was a little traveling altar. Did not know. I thought it was a canteen or a little purse.
Well, there you go. Weirdo.
So, I know, right?
Buying Buddhas without even realizing it.
It was a surprise, and I was happy. And when I saw the roundness of this and the jute or whatever is hanging off of it, it reminded me of this thing I have hanging in my studio. And I'm like, oh, it's hidden. They hide all kinds of stuff with Buddha.
It's like Cracker Jacks.
Yeah. Cracker Jacks.
God knows what you can get when you get home.
No, I was very happy. Very happy.
Yeah, the original article was pretty crummy because it kind of suggested that maybe there were scratches on the surface that were creating this.
Yeah,
and
it didn't go
seems
into
to me
detail.
Like it wouldn't be hidden because you'd be able to see the scratches. But that doesn't seem to be the case at all. This article is also a little bit circumvent about what they're talking about. They're not very specific. But what they're suggesting is that there are actually two different materials on the surface. That
yes.
Maybe they're forge welding it together, or maybe they're brazing it on or soldering it on in some way. But the general idea is that even though it looks like one seamless piece of bronze, there are two different metal alloys on the surface. And you mm-hmm. can't distinguish them by eye, but they have different reflective
qualities,
different reflective index. And that makes a lot of sense because that would be very difficult to do. And it can be very slight variance in material that can have different reflectivity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense to me, but it would also be very difficult to do, which is why it would explain why it's not widespread. But if you got a lot of money and you want to pay someone to do something to impress your friends, this seems like a good way to do that.
My question, James, which wasn't addressed anywhere, was why?
Why what?
Why would this be a thing? Why invent this? You know, why?
I'd just explain that to show off to your friends how wealthy you are. But also because you can. Once you discover something awesome like this, is probably, I mean, I don't know, probably. It is something that could have been discovered accidentally. You know, you're a metal worker. Uh-huh. Maybe you're fixing something. Maybe you're trying to repair one of these bronze mirrors and you don't know exactly what bronze they use, so you use a different kind of bronze and you fill in a gap or something and you discover, It's literally just sitting on the table, and a ray of sun strikes it, and you see it as it casts an image on the wall. You know, it's reflecting on the wall. You notice that there are two different shades of it. And it's like, holy cow, that's weird. I didn't know that would happen. So you've discovered something, and how can you use that? Well, you sell it to rich people.
Okay.
I mean, if you can't turn it into porn, what else are you going to do with it?
Oh, my God. So it was just, you think it was just kind of like a, not a play thing, but just something like a, something to have.
It's the technology you discover. There's not much other uses for it. So you use it how you can.
The curator said that he believed, or he, she believed, that the Buddhist versions that were developed during the Ming Dynasty were used for worship of Amitabha with chanting. And sometimes they can see the name, but I don't know.
So what this brought up was the question of what other mysteries are hiding in plain sight that we are looking at, but we literally can't see.
Exactly. I just thought it was fascinating.
Probably not that many.
Probably not that many. It's just kind of, I thought it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. The second article you sent me, which will be linked in the show notes, was much more informative. Although my favorite part of the article, that second article, the curator in this case had read an article a couple of years ago about these types of mirrors potentially having these hidden layers in them.
Mm-hmm.
So the article says, just by chance we found this image. It's like, no, it wasn't just by chance. You literally went looking for it.
Right.
Just by chance you found exactly what you were looking for. I mean, granted, yeah, it's kind of a bonus. It's like getting Cracker Jacks. You get by 100 boxes of Cracker Jacks.
Uh-huh.
And in one of them, you find, wow, an actual diamond ring.
If that can only happen.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm sure it could happen in theory. Someone could accidentally get their finger cut off at the Cracker Jack factory, and their finger with their diamond ring on it falls into the box. So you get a finger and a ring.
And a That's lawsuit.
That's a double bonus.
And a lawsuit, possibly.
AI image generators. So they're the thing now. That's what's happening these days with the kids.
All the kids are doing it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, all the kids are trying to do it. It's like, I think they finally realized that NFTs aren't going anywhere, so now they're doing AI image generation. To put that in perspective, you type in to this AI image generator text, and from that text, the image generator will create an image. So you can type in something like vacuuming in the forest. That's an idea. You could illustrate that. And it creates an image for you.
Wow.
One of the more popular people on Twitter that is doing this is really bad at it. And that vacuum forming in the forest, if you use this app called Crayon, returns some pretty terrible images. I guess you can almost see, if you know it's vacuuming in the forest, you will see it. Otherwise, it's like a couple of people standing around with sticks. It was pretty bad.
It was? I didn't see that.
You know there are these things called links in web pages? And you can click on the link.
Oh, I didn't look at the link. Let me see. Oh, I see. Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible. And I mean, this is the problem. I mean, a lot of these kids that have gotten a lot of notoriety from doing this, it's really bad stuff. It's hard to call this even creative diarrhea because it lacks even the most basic level of curation. It's more than cringeworthy.
So what good is it? What are we using this for?
Ah, well, they actually talked to an art critic about this, Jerry Saltz, and I thought his point was perfectly on mark. Don't look at, quote, the art that these things are generating. Mm-hmm. It's not art. It's a tool to make something, which may be art at some point, possibly. And just using this after a few minutes, I already started developing a sense for how to use the tool. It's like you pick up a brush, and you don't know how to use a brush, but after just a few minutes of smashing it into paint and then smashing it onto canvas, you start to figure out how to work it.
Okay.
Exactly the same thing happened.
With crayon?
Yeah, with crayon. So after just a few minutes of usage, I started getting a feel for how to use it.
Interesting.
And I made some. And
you sent me some. I thought they were interesting.
We will definitely put this actually, one of these will probably be the show art. How easy is that? I'll do all the show art now on crayon because it takes literally two minutes to do it. So, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. That's kind of, talk about low-hanging fruit.
Right.
So the first one I did, I typed in, Joan of Arc eating ice cream.
Oh, I love it. And I see
that. And what I got back was, okay, so it must know who Joan of Arc is, and it must associate her with A, being female, and B, being a warrior, like a knight, because it's clearly what it's doing, it's taking the torso of a knight in full armor, and then trying to stick a female head on it, and then trying to stick on top of that ice cream eating. These are terribly, terribly bad images, but it does convey the idea. And I think most people would look at this and say, at least a female knight eating ice cream, and probably make the connection to Joan of Arc, because there aren't a lot of female knights that we think of that are running around.
Yeah, I didn't
armor.
Think Joan of Arc. I just thought, actually, I was thinking like Cersei in Game of Thrones.
She never wore armor.
I know, but it was AI. I thought maybe you said. Never mind. Just ignore me.
You failed the AI test.
I failed everything so far this morning.
So then I thought I'd throw it a little bit of a harder query. And then the next one was Joan of Arc eating a dragon, at which point it completely failed. It creates a grid of 9 images trying to guess at what you want. Every single one of these is completely failed. There's not a single dragon I can make out in any of these images. But then I said, let's shift completely. And my next query was a cat painted by Georgia O'Keeffe.
Oh, okay.
And this one I thought came out pretty damn well. Of
did
the
you
9
send
images,
that to me?
I did. Okay. Yeah, it was stacked as images, so I don't know how you're going to.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, you see it? Okay.
Oh, I love that.
It's a mashup of a cat and an O'Keeffe painting, but the cat isn't just a cat, like a picture of a cat. The cat has been morphed into the painting style of O'Keeffe.
Right. That's brilliant. I like this.
Now, I don't want to say this is what a cat painted by Georgia O'Keeffe would look like, because it absolutely is not, but it's down that path.
Right.
You can see the connection. Like, if I show 8 of 9 of these pieces are so distinctive that if I showed this to anyone, they would say, oh, I didn't know Georgia O'Keeffe painted a cat.
Cats, right.
One of them is kind of a fail, but that's not bad. That's not a bad hit ratio.
I see the fail. I can pick it out. But
yeah. And some are better than others. So this was a success,
yeah,
I would say. And as far as just a visual note, like a visual sketch, I wouldn't want to try to sell any of these.
Right.
These are awful on that perspective, but it gave me an idea, right? And that's kind of the power of this. It can create ideas. You don't know. It's like rolling the dice. You don't know what you're going to get. It's like rolling the dice, but instead of getting 1 through 12 as an answer, it could be something like a hippopotamus falls out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You roll the dice and you get a hippopotamus falling out of the sky, or you get a woman coming out of a lake with a fancy sword. You never know what you're going
right.
to get. There's a lot of value to that, because that's creativity. And immediately when I looked at this, I said, okay, well, these images in themselves are meaningless and useless, but it immediately gave me the idea. If you sat down and wanted to make a career out of painting cat portraits in the style of O'Keeffe, I think you'd have a smashing success on your hands.
And you'd have a good start.
I just think the overlay of people who want portraits of their cats and people who probably like O'Keeffe, I'm guessing there's probably a large overlap in those two communities.
You made me ask
But then
something.
I'm being stereotypical. This thing is called crayon, which, you know, it's not very good. But it works, and sometimes we get better results and sometimes you get worse results.
So the value of this, you think, is just to spur creativity or to act as creativity?
It's a tool.
A tool. Okay.
So let's look at nothing more than that. Oh, the last one, actually, I did a few more tests. The last one that I sent you or shared with you was a cat painted by Damien Hirst. And in this case, I will say these are much better than anything Damien Hirst has done. So in that sense, it is successful.
I actually like the cats painted by Damien Hirst that weren't.
Yeah, which is in contrast to anything he's ever made. Just to put it in perspective, Damien Hirst is the wonderful guy who put a dead shark in a tank and also put like the severed head of a cow in a acrylic box with a bunch of flies and let people watch as it degraded.
Yeah, that's
and
not
was
art.
Eaten by the fly. Yeah, that's Damien Hirst for you. So I'd much rather have a colorful painting of a cat than a dead cow head.
This reminds me of like there was a gal, I'm blocking on her name, but she did cats and horses and different things on fabric, and her work was very. It was kind of like this. It reminds me of that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So the alternative, which is much more successful, is called DALL-E.
Okay.
That is another AI.
All right.
That, however, is not available to the public. You have to sign up. And I've been on the waiting list for that for a month or two now. What I think is really interesting about DALL-E is that, you know, they're rolling it out much more slowly. I've seen a lot of people working with it on Instagram and Twitter, or this is just how they're sharing the things. And it's experimental, and the people I'm following aren't, you know, posting this like it's art. They're showing their experiments and the effect of the experiments. And what I see is most people start with their own image and then try to make something else out of it. Like they have a picture of a sunset and they say, put a horse in the sunset. And, you know, it does generally a pretty good job of adding a horse. Now, you can see that it's by no means perfect, but at least gets you the idea. And a lot of what I've seen lately are people taking, like, a smaller picture of a house and saying, expand out from this. So you start with a small house in along a street, and you say, let's expand backwards and fill in the scene as if, you know, it was twice as wide. And so it will try to fill in houses of similar likeness to it. And that's kind of interesting, where you can, it's like if you took a picture of, I don't know, let's say the pyramids, and you say, zoom out for me. What else would be in this scene if you took it with a wide angle lens instead of a zoom lens? And then it would fill that in. And that's, you know, that's kind of crazy. And it's been fairly successful. Or another example that I've seen is they take a picture of a flower. You put that flower in and they say, show me the bush that this flower is part of. And so now it creates a bush around the flower.
Very cool.
Don't know where that's going, but we'll
see. I don't know where any of this is going, but it's an interesting tool. Like you said, and just clarify, why is DALL-E limited availability?
They say that it's based on, they're trying to restrict the load on their servers.
I see.
That makes sense. However, that may well be the case, but it has an either unintended or intended consequence of making it scarce. So if you get accepted and you're able to access the software, even then you only get a handful of usage every day. So you can only put a couple of requests in every day, which makes it scarce, which means people are spending a lot more time thinking about what they put in. And when that you do that, the results are generally going to be better.
How do you think this is going to impact the art world overall in terms of creativity? Is it going to be a melding of the like artist and this tool, or will the tool take over like the Borg? I mean,
what tool has ever taken over? I think it's just going to be another tool.
Okay, just
and
another
if
tool.
You don't know how to use it, you're not going to get good results.
I see. Okay.
That's my opinion.
Being that it's a tool and you equated it to like a paintbrush earlier, do you see any like denigration in the output, like where it wasn't from, you know, just an artist's hand? Or do you see it as complementary? Do you see it as superior, less than?
Well, right
I'm
now
just
it's
curious.
Nothing. Right now,
it's nothing, right?
You might be able to use it to generate some ideas. Because I haven't seen any great work come from it.
Right,
it's hard
right.
to imagine someone creating a final piece using this system at the moment. That could happen, but right now it's just throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun spaghetti.
And of course, there was some concern in the article that it would be used for nefarious purposes, which was, again, if you didn't read that as being porn, that's what they meant. It could be used for porn. So.
I didn't read that.
I did some, well, of course you didn't because you don't have the male brain. So I did some experimentation, some light experimentation down that road, and I typed in female wearing a bikini.
Okay.
Which came back with some pretty freakish results. So right now, I would say no. I mean, these results were so freakish. I mean, like, think Francis Bacon.
Okay.
That's what these looked like. It's like, okay, I can see there's a female. They take a picture. They found many pictures of women online with wearing bikinis, but then they've tried to take the face and make it look like a female face, even though there was already a female face there. And it just smashed and mushed and weird. And the rest of the image has also been weirdly distorted.
Interesting. So, okay, so that brings up that I didn't think of, like, these images are being culled from the internet. Where are these images coming from?
I don't know what database they're getting from, but I'm assuming everything comes from the internet now.
Right. Catherine. Oh, no, I know that, but it's everything. Just like, is it just the broad-based internet, or is it just like they're building? I mean, I'm wondering what they're pulling from. I mean, could they even be other people's photos? I mean, it's a weird, almost like, not privacy thing, but maybe, sort of. I mean, where are they pulling these images from? Facebook? I mean, there's a lot of shit out there.
The article wasn't overly specific, but they did mention that Crayon was originally created in a hackathon that was sponsored by Google. So I'm assuming it was using Google's image database, which is probably a database that's been curated by Google to make sure that it's hopefully free of copyright infringement.
Right, because that was the other point I was getting to, like copyright infringement and privacy infringement. I mean, it's like if they're just pulling randomly.
Yeah, but I imagine that, like I said, they're probably from databases that are curated to some degree.
Interesting.
Otherwise, you're going to run into all kinds
of problems. Right. That's exactly where my mind went.
The best example of the most successful example, though, which was a little bit mind-bending to me, was someone put in the query into Crayon, ice cube in an ice cube. they capitalized ice cube, the first ice cube, so they meant the wrapper ice cube, which initially I didn't realize. But as soon as you pull up the image, you look at the image, it literally is Ice Cube the wrapper inside of an ice cube. It was it's like the most successful use of it. And that was like, wow, okay, I never would have imagined that in a million years. Well, maybe I would have imagined that after about 10 or 12 minutes. But it was a remarkable usage of the technology.
That's interesting. That's fun. No, I thought it was an interesting concept, and I'm glad that you were playing around with crayon. I think I might try the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. It takes a couple minutes to generate the image, but that's it.
I'll share what I get. I think it's a great idea for show art.
Yeah, if we want to go down that path. And like all software, it's getting better.
Just like this podcast.
So at some point, maybe I'll be able to type in, you know, female in a bikini and get some usable results.
I'm not sure how to take that, but okay.
Don't take it. Just leave it.
I think we need to leave it.